I'm Alex Coghlan of New Japan Pro Wrestling and the captain of the LA Dojo. You're listening to Wrestle In.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Ohio, konnichiwa, konbanwa, and welcome to Ace Techers. This is Wrestle In's New Japan Focus podcast. I am Kieran RH. I'm back after abandoning ship for the last episode. I apologize. Maybe I shouldn't have come back. It was such a cracking episode without me. NK, Sunao, SP3, all holding down the fort whilst I went to a Rev Pro show. But I'm glad to be back, and it's a lot has happened in the 2 weeks since our last episode. NK, man, like New Japan Cup anniversary event. Everyone's changing factions. Everything is really spiced up.
Yeah, it's a lot's happened. Guys have gotten haircuts. A lot has happened, like the landscape of like New Japan in 2 weeks. Like, it feels like, I don't know, this year there's going to be a lot of unexpected changes. Like, the way this year started off, like, it's crazy. Even Mark Davis getting an unexpected, you know, lengthy run in a New Japan Cup. We'll get to that later, but yeah, crazy turn of events.
So now, like he said, everyone's getting haircuts, people are changing up shop. Out of everything that's happened these past 2 weeks, of all the matches that have been announced and all the matches that have happened and all the change-ups that have happened, what's been the most exciting thing for you?
I mean, as like a long-term Sanada fan, it was Sanada, because I think we've been saying this for ages. Like, he's great, he's got the potential, but LIJ just hasn't been it for him. And what I love is that in New Japan, normally when like people change factions, it's like they betray them, they do something. But Sanada's was so Sanada. He was just like, yeah, I can't really do anything else in LIJ. I might, let's just move on. And there was no like betrayal. It was just very Sanada.
It was. That's a very, very apt way of saying it. And then Ryan Nassau, SP3, you know, there's been all these future shows announced as well. Best of the Super Juniors has been announced as coming back. Forbidden Door 2 has been announced. We've got Multiverse United preview coming up. We've got a vignette teaser of everything that we got to look forward to in the future. What are you most excited about?
I'm excited for Forbidden Door 2, most definitely. I think the Canadian crowds for AEW have been some of their better crowds in the last couple of months, and just being able to see New Japan, you know, talent in front of that Canadian crowd is going to be amazing for Forbidden Door 2. But Best of the Super Juniors as well, before that, I'm very excited about, because I feel the New Japan Cup final gave us one of the best junior heavyweight matches that I've seen in quite some time.
Leo Rush and Hiromu went full whack, man, and it probably clocked in at like less than 20 minutes, maybe around the 20 minute mark. It was awesome.
Legitimately, Kevin Kelly was shocked when they got the 20 minute call, because it did not feel like 20 minutes, and I was the same way watching at home. I was like, this has been 20 minutes, it feels like 10 because they've gone so fast.
I mean, that's the New Japan Cup final. We got a bit of a journey ahead of us to get there, because we've got basically the entire New Japan Cup to talk about on this episode. Because we are fortnightly, the last episode only covered the first night. We've had the anniversary event and then the entire tournament.
It's weird, like, that I've noticed that, like, does it feel much more condensed this year? Like,
yeah.
Everything is much closer together, all the matches. It's almost like every day, and it feels like it's passed a lot quicker than normally.
Yeah, normally, like, sometimes when I watch New Japan Cup, obviously I'm not able to watch live sometimes because it's like super early in the day. So in previous years, I remember it being super easy to catch up because there'd be gaps in between. But this year it was like, I missed one, I missed the other one, and I'm like, oh my God, I've got to just catch up with all of these events at once. Like, it just feels like the schedule's much tighter. I don't know if it feels tighter in terms of like, yeah, I don't know if the schedule's actually gotten like smaller, or it's just like, I don't know, I have bad time management these days.
And for me in America, the timing has been excellent, because a lot of these shows start at like 5:30 a.m. Eastern. So as soon as my kids wake me up at like 6 a.m., I can get right into the show. I've kind of skipped a couple of the multi-man matches that I didn't want to see, House of Torture. But I get into the stuff that I do want to see by the time I get into the show. So I think that the timing and how everything's been so condensed, and we're going to get the same thing with the Best of the Super Juniors with 12 shows over 16 nights. So it's going to be, I'm liking this new schedule for New Japan.
Oh, yeah. At one point, I think there was a show on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday. It was literally four shows in a row. Like, you know, for us in the, well, all of us, it's early morning and in some capacity. But thankfully, unlike the G1, if you want to just watch the New Japan Cup, you've got two matches to catch up with, and that's it every day. Versus G1 having five matches, or depending how the hell they do the block system. But let's go back to the beginning of the New Japan Cup, essentially, the anniversary event. Because there was a big reveal on this night. You know, I like the way it happened as well. David Finlay coming out to the Bullet Club theme, the Bullet Club logo up on the screen, his own new music, sorry. The most shocking thing being that he had Gedo at his side. I think, you know, it wasn't too far-fetched to imagine him joining Bullet Club. I'm sure people had fantasy booked that already. But to have Gedo at his side, that was a big shock, and I think that speaks volumes to kind of maybe the future that they hope he will live up to. SP3,
because you have to think about it, the only two guys that Gedo has managed before David Finlay is Kazuchika Okada, the ace, the biggest star in New Japan, and Switchblade Jay White, who is one of the biggest gaijin stars that New Japan has ever had, and the first ever Grand Slam champion. So to have that lineage with guys that Gedo has managed, and now it's David Finlay, it put him in a high profile position right off the gate. So I liked the reveal. I kind of was like a lot of the other people that fantasy booked David Finlay joining the Bullet Club. It just made a whole world of sense. And I love the story that Kevin Kelly and Chris Charlton kind of told on commentary, that Gedo was the one that was whispering in David Finlay's ear of why Finlay attacked Jay White back at Battle in the Valley. Just made a world of sense. And then he added on to that with the cherry on top, which was one of the better matches of the entire New Japan Cup tournament, was him and Tomohiro Ishii on the anniversary show.
Well, so no, you're a huge Jay White fan. Maybe you're not such a big fan anymore. You know, it depends where he ends up, what he's going to do. But, you know, what was your view on when David Finlay first joined Bullet Club at the beginning of this tournament to now making it to the final and falling at the last hurdle to Sanada? Has he won, like, you know, has he won you over as the tournament has progressed?
So, you know, like my whole fantasy booking back ages was to get Jay and Finlay reunited. And obviously that didn't happen. When he came out with Bullet Club, I was worried, like, we've seen it happen before. Evo show, I was like, oh, is Finlay going to lose who he is as a wrestler? So that's why I was at first, I was like, oh. Also, I saw he had some like odes to Jay. So like on his knee pad, he has like the X, the red X, which Jay has. So I was like, are we just seeing someone moving? He's going to become like another Finlay. But he's really cemented himself as, he's still the same David Finlay, just with an added edge, even with this whole thing with El Fantasma, where he doesn't like the nonsense. It's like he has found his place in Bullet Club as David Finlay. And even with those little quirks that at first I wasn't happy about, now I see how it fits in. And I think, like, if Sho had done what David Finlay done and moved to Bullet Club, just added an extra edge to himself but kept his same offense, I'd be fine. Let's all do a David Finlay. But he obviously didn't do that. And I think Finlay, I mean, if Gedo doesn't mess this up, I think Finlay's got a really good chance of actually hopefully bringing Bullet Club back to where it should be.
I think the interesting thing at the moment with Bullet Club is only the El Fantasma disagreements with Finlay. Yeah. El Fantasma not thinking Finlay should be a leader. There's some animosity between them there. NK, how do you think this plays out? Is El Fantasma perhaps on his way out of Bullet Club?
You know, I remember saying earlier on in the podcast that like El Fantasma is going to have a big year this year. And I think I kind of envisioned remember the Bullet Club Civil War like many years ago with obviously Omega. And I foresee something like to that degree where like maybe Bullet Club's kind of divided about who whose allegiances they take. Because I definitely see a situation where David Finlay and El Fantasma come to blows. Because obviously when David Finlay won his match to progress to the final, it kind of seemed that okay, him and El Fantasma kind of squashed like the beef. But I feel like that's gonna be a reoccurring thing where they're gonna consistently butt heads, and it's gonna be something that, you know, tests a lot of the loyalties of the Bullet Club members? Do they side with El Phantasmo, someone, you know, who's been in the faction for a long time? And, you know, we kind of said would be like the de facto kind of leader since Jay White has left. Or do they side with David Finley, somebody, you know, new, somebody with the backing of Gedo? You know, I think they could take the storyline in interesting ways. I'm not, David Finley still has quite a bit of convincing to do for me in regards to his status in Bullet Club. But, you know, so far, so good. I feel like he made a good account for himself in this G1. But, yeah, I'm not a David Finley believer yet, but we shall see.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's certainly got a ceiling at the moment, and that ceiling would be, like, US title, never champion.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
He's yes. not going to go higher than that at the moment. Of course, he's not going to be facing Kenny Omega. I just mean in terms of where he could fit realistically be at this point in time. And obviously, he's got to win over Tama Tonga. I'm sure we could safely assume that that's going to be a title match in the future. You've got the Bullet Club history, yes. things like that there. So, yeah, I think him getting to the New Japan Cup final certainly gives him that wave of momentum. It gives him some credibility. And now he can, I there's every chance, if the Tama Tonga match happens, that he does win.
Yeah, I like the fact that it's kind of a difference of Bullet Club ideologies, really, because David Finley viewing himself as the leader is very much akin to how AJ Styles came into the club and was immediately viewed as the leader, and Jay White came into the club with the backing of Gedo, and he immediately became the leader, whereas El Phantasmo is kind of thinking about it, really, when you really listen to what he's been saying about it, he views it more of the Kenny Omega, where you get promoted up. He's been with the club, he's been a face of the Bullet Club, and he feels that he should follow that Kenny Omega path, and he's kind of taken that leadership role of being against what David Finley is about. So I like the fact that you have that ideology, and then Kevin Kelly also talking about it on the final, how there's been really a Bullet Club civil war for the better part of 5 years now. Like, it all started in 2018. You know, you had Jay come in, but then quickly you saw that, you know, he was taking the leadership role, even though Tama Tonga kind of took the leadership role when he ejected the Elite. So it's like, it's been kind
even
of
you had Jay and Evil.
Yeah, Jay and Evil. Jay. Yeah, it's been dissension for the better part of 5 years now.
Well, I will say about El Phantasmo, NK, I don't know how long you've been like going to Rev Pro and stuff, but back when El Phantasmo was a regular on the UK Indies, he was a babyface. Like, you know, the headbanger gimmick really lent itself to it. He'd come out, you know, he'd headbang with the crowd, and he'd sell like light up glasses at merch, and you could join in. And he was wildly popular, like in the best possible way. He's got a great babyface run in him in Japan as well.
Yeah.
And he's kind of leaning into that. He's too sweet in the kids in the crowd. He's taking the NIJ hats, and rather than throwing them, he's just turning them around. You know, they do the slow burn, they tease stuff like this Sonata stuff happened since the beginning of the year, and for years. Taichi has had mutual respect for Sonata, and for years Taichi has said he doesn't know that Sonata necessarily fits in with LIJ. All these years later, we get this awesome payoff. So yeah, I think there's every chance something happens with El Phantasmo.
I think just linking with that, it's like, it's a simple thing. So you were saying with Sonata and Taichi, it's also like Zach used to say the same thing, but touching on ELP, because I used to watch him when he used to come to the North, and it's like, I remember when he first came to New Japan and Bullet Club, and it's, I used to go to see like the shows with my mom, and I was like, "Mom, it's El Phantasmo," and she almost couldn't fit the two together. She was like, "El Phantasmo shouldn't be in Bullet Club. He's a really nice guy." Like, and I feel that maybe that was the issue with people might have with Finley. So whereas El Phantasmo is sort of going to a baby face, we think now is slow. Maybe Finley's change was too quick.
It was instant. Like, yeah, there wasn't really a change, was there? It was he attacks whatever the show was in America that I can't remember the name
Battle
of.
Battle in the Valley.
Battle in the Valley, thank you. And then he, rocks up, and no notion that he's going to be coming out anything different. And boom, here's a new theme, and here's the Bullet Club logo. But on that same night as well, a huge, huge match of the year contender. Certainly match of the night, I would say. Shota Umino versus Yujiro Takahashi. No, I'm joking. Of course, the main event for IWGP.
I got worried then.
Yujiro is looking bad.
Yujiro
is not looking good. No, the main event, IWGP Tag Team Championships, Bishamon retaining against the Dream Team, Tanahashi and Okada. For me, the best tag match I've seen so far this year. I loved it. What about you, NK?
Yeah, I thought it was a great match. It's great to see Tanahashi and Okada together. I think after, you know, the rivalry, the legendary rivalry they've had, just to see them tag team together and compete for the tag team titles is excellent. And I can't lie, when Bushimon won World Tag League, I slept on them. I was like, no, it should have been Ozzy.
The second time.
Yeah. It should have been Ozzy. I don't know. But then, you know, they've really proved me wrong. Since Wrestle Kingdom, they've just been putting on banger after banger after banger after banger, and they've really made a good account of themselves. And, you know, I hope to see what they do next. I see them holding the titles to at least Dominion. And then maybe Dominion will see a title change. But like, so far, like, they've really silenced me, because I was ready to come on here, you know, and criticize and be like, this is what's wrong with New Japan's tag team division. But you know what? Like, fair play to them.
And then they both delivered in spades in the cup as well. Yeah. Like, their single matches were awesome. They're one of the highlights of New Japan at the moment. But yeah, then speaking about the New Japan Cup itself, actually, on that point, you're saying you think they might drop the titles around Dominion. Forbidden Door plays a big part in all of this now, doesn't it? Because Bishamon aren't going to be very popular with the AEW crowd. The AEW crowd are going to be Yoshihashi, really? That guy that we was watching 5 years ago that came running down the ramp and slipped on his ass and fucking smashed his head open coming to make the save?
Yeah.
It's incredible that they've cut it out of the New Japan World feed. You can't watch it. You can't see it again unless you find it somewhere else. But yeah, I think Forbidden Door does play a part. Like, I would love to see Bishamon in a marquee match on that card. You know, you get the people in the crowd, people watching, and they're like, why Yoshihashi? And then they leave the match and they're like, fucking hell, this isn't the same Yoshihashi. But on that note, so now, who would you want to see Bishamon defend the tag titles against at Forbidden Door from AEW?
You're kind of asking what I don't really watch AEW.
I was going to go SP3, but I know SP3 does watch AEW, which is why I wanted to get someone else's opinion. But we'll go with SP3 instead then.
Well, they got unfinished business with the Young Bucks, because the Young Bucks beat them last year. I believe it was the Rampage after Bloody Guts. So that would make a lot of sense as a high-profile team against them. I would love for another round of them in FTR as well. That would be a lot of fun, as you know, also. So those are kind of the two teams that I would put in there. Also, the Lucha Bros versus them. That would be interesting, but you know we're not going to get any AAA talent on Forbidden Door against the New Japan guys. But I actually don't see Bishamon holding those tag team titles until Dominion. I think that their next defense needs to be against Aussie Open, and I got Aussie Open beating them. So I think that Aussie Open will be the IWGP tag team champions by the time we get to Forbidden Door.
As NK throws up the crown, the crown that nobody listening can see, because this is audio only medium. From the club, we've certainly got Sakura Genesis. We can certainly lay the groundwork to what we think the matches are going to be. But sticking with the cup then, I don't want us to spend all day going through every night and every match. You know, there was some good matches. There was some awful matches. I'm looking at you, Sanada and Kenta. Sanada and Kenta was probably the worst match of the tournament for me. Like, and
that felt like a day. I was like,
I saw the commentary online and I said, okay, this is what I'm gonna skip. So yeah, I didn't even bother watching.
Yeah, I kind of liked it. Is that bad?
That's very bad. So now mine will be back for the next episode of Ace Techers.
Or saying that I liked Yujiro versus Shota. Which one better?
I mean, at least Yujiro versus Shota was like 10, 12 minutes. Like, yeah, I think Sanada Kenta, I think, was the longest match of the tournament.
Yeah, it was 29 minutes.
What? Who is saying Kenta go out and wrestle for 29 minutes, please?
Somebody who thinks it's 2006.
Oh man, it was not good. But yeah, so I just want to, like, you know, let's go around, let's shout out who we think. All right, so let's start with our favorite matches. You don't have to pick a single one, because for me, I think Carl Fletcher's two matches, against the first one against Yoshihashi, the second one against Hiroki Goto, they stand out as two of my favorites of the tournament. I would say, to cheat a little bit, Aussie Open were the MVPs of this tournament.
I agree.
Oh, for sure.
I said
this was incredible.
Mark Davis, like, you know, coming in to replace the injured Ospreay after having the amazing match with Ospreay. You know, when they were first announced, I don't think anyone was upset. It was just a bit of, that's weird, you know, Aussie Open.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're tag team through and through. But, you know, it was so cool to see the love that they got throughout this tournament. But yeah, SP3, you were in quick to agree with me there about Aussie Open being the MVPs. What were some of your favorite matches or your MVPs of the tournament?
So not my favorite matchup, but the reason why Aussie Open deserved to be MVPs, Kyle Fletcher proved, you know, at 24 years old, he may be a future like main event star for New Japan with those two matches with Yoshihashi and Hiroki Goto. I like the Yoshihashi match even more, but that's saying something, that a Yoshihashi match was great to me in this tournament. But Mark Davis deserves to right there with Kyle Fletcher, because this man did the impossible, ladies and gentlemen. He had a great match with Evil. He had a great match with Evil. This was straight out of 1998 Attitude Era, McMahon's versus The Rock. Like, this was just interference, the counteract to the interference. It was just so great, and how they had the crowd in the palm of their hand. That's why Mark Davis, in my opinion, deserves to be MVP, because he got a great match out of Evil. Kicking and screaming, he dragged him to a great match in the New Japan Cup. My favorite matches, though, I got a shout out, you know, like I said before, Finley and Tomohiro Ishii. I thought that was just a great hard-hitting matchup, showed Finley's new style in a great way right off the bat. And then Shoto Umino versus Zack Sabre Jr. That was probably probably my favorite, until Sonata versus Mark Davis, because that was just the juxtaposition from his match with Kenta, where I thought, you know, the Tai Chi match in the first round was great, but that was a little bit long. That was my only nitpick about that matchup. And then he just totally dragged with Kenta. So to then have a 12-minute match that was just so fast-paced, so hard-hitting, so many great counters, reversals, and then it just ends out of nowhere with that modified DDT. That Sonata and Mark Davis match is like the one match I would show to a non-wrestling fan to be like, this is New Japan at its best, when two guys that you don't expect to have a great match just have it, and it's 12 minutes of just perfection in a nutshell. So those three matches, Sonata, Mark Davis, Shooter and ZSJ, and Finley and Tomohiro Ishii, were my three best of the tournament.
When was the last, like, the juxtaposition of going from a Sonata Kenta, like you said, 29 minute snooze fest, like, you know, it felt like a day, SP3 said, to a 12 minute main event. Like, when was the last time New Japan had a 12 minute main event for a match of importance? I would love to know that. You've got to go back. It's going to be pre-pandemic for sure. Yeah, and you're probably going back years within that.
And I feel like those matches, like, mean so much more, because I feel like we're all accustomed to, like, whenever we get to a main event, okay, grab your popcorn, you're going to be here for a while. So the fact that we have a match that, you know, and that's why, you know, Zack Sabre Jr.'s title run is working so well, because we're getting short, condensed matches, and guys are having to, you know, be a lot more creative with their stuff. They don't have the luxury of, like, saving stuff for the final sequence at minute 30. It's like, no, you have to get your stuff in now and keep the crowd entertained. So, like, yeah, these short matches are welcome, a welcome return, and obviously, and I hope to see them more often. I hope when we get to that G1 season, that, like, some of these matches, some of these main events go fast, and not just because I don't enjoy these wrestlers, but I want to see a change of pace. I want to see variety on the card as well.
Yeah, SK, you don't need, a match doesn't have to be long for it to be good, 100%. Yeah. That's what we've learned from a lot of these matches. The New Japan Cup final, Sonata David Finlay, the final match of this long tour, this huge occasion, was less than 20 minutes, I'm pretty sure. It flew by. Like, that's, again, when was it? It's got to be one of the shortest New Japan Cup finals of all time. But NK, sticking with you then, what were your, like, again, what were your favorite matches? Who are your MVPs? Because, you know, it's kind of hard to remember. Like you said, it was such a condensed schedule. Yeah. But on the first night, you think back, you had Tetsuya Naito and El Phantasmo, where El Phantasmo was just doing everything he fucking could. Shingo Takagi and Aaron Hanare went and had a war. You know, Aaron Hanare picking up a great win and probably his best match in a New Japan ring so far. And then, of course, you had, like, Mark Davis being MVP, his incredible match versus Will Ospreay.
Yeah, I think obviously, Mark, like SP3 said, Mark Davis versus Sonata. Obviously, Mark and Will, I had like they're obviously stable mates. I expected that match to be good, but Mark Davis and Sonata was a match that I wasn't expecting much of, but what I got was amazing. And Mark Davis, he reminds me of a Stan Hansen. He looks like an 80s big burly Western heel. Like, he could put him in any era and he'd thrive. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can imagine him just tearing it up in the Tokyo Dome in the 80s. But but yeah, Mark Davis is somebody that I was extremely impressed by. And obviously, like, you know Mark Davis is good because obviously we've seen hella matches with him in Aussie Open, but just seeing him on his own, in his own element, and, you know, really commanding and sometimes even dictating the pace of a match was just a great surprise. It's something I was really looking forward to. Of course, Shota and Zack Sabre Jr., I mean, like, come on, like, it's them two guys. Like, and you know, Shota is somebody, like I said, like, I have high hopes for him in the future. And, you know, slowly but surely he's getting there. I feel like there's still a little bit of Tanahashi cosplay in there. But, you know, we're going to, like, he's getting there. He's slowly defining himself. But, yeah, Mark Davis, man, like, I threw up the crowns because, yeah, man, United Empire on all fronts are just cooking, man. And I can't wait to see what the year has in store for them as a faction as a whole. So, yeah.
Yeah, they're by far my favorite faction at the moment. I don't think we need to ask Sonal what her favorite match is because she said it was Shota versus Yujiro, right? That was your favorite match?
Yeah, obviously. I watched that every single day since it happened.
Oh, no,
I mean, I literally agree. I filmed a video today to come out tomorrow and literally I said my MVP is Mark Davis. Like, his match with Yano was great. His match Ospreay was phenomenal. The fact, like, that match with Evil was amazing. Like, my favorite bit was, I think, like, when the Empire came back out and Ospreay was like trying to bring all the troops in and then
his arm in a sling.
Hanare jumped over the barricade and Okada's like, now give me a second, and then he opened the gate. He's like, no, we gotta help him, but like, I'm not jumping over, let me open the gate. And then he handcuffed himself to Dick Togo. I just feel like I normally hate House of Torture, I hate their interference. But I like that finally a faction is like, we're not going to take this, we're going to fight back. And like, why is it taking so long? But yeah, and then Mark Davis' match with Sonata. I feel like going into this, like everyone said, people don't expect, they've seen Aussie Open as a team and they don't expect them to be so good. But the fact that, like, I know it was obviously due to Ospreay's injury that Mark Davis came back, but he's really shined and opened the eyes. He's got, like, Aussie Open are probably, they've gained so many fans in Japan from this tour. And yeah, I mean, Mark Davis for the G1.
Oh, hell yeah, yeah. The G1 will be an interesting one, whether they like the fact that, was it 28 people? Whether they like that system, whether they maybe Yeah, that's what I mean. It's certainly,
and also the different blocks, just A and B block, keep it simple. Like, all of this block,
fair, last
C block.
Year, A block was awful. I think that was like one of the big.
That was the Giants block with Okada, the monster block.
I didn't like it. It was awful. Mm-hmm. Like, because there was so little amount of them as well. It was too much and it just wasn't good.
It'll be interesting whether they do keep that, whether they go back to two blocks and maybe they have 11 men per block and just up the numbers a bit because they're stacked. It's hard to leave people out. I would say we can get rid of Yano. I don't need a Yano in a G1 anymore.
No Yano, Yo Yujiro. We don't need them in the G1 anymore. Or no, Bad Luck Fale.
You say this, Yujiro's gonna win this year's G1 now.
Oh Lord. Yujiro Takahashi in the main event of Wrestle Kingdom. Wow.
So, don't wish that evil on us. Don't wish that evil on us.
I'm sure the next time there's a New Japan show in the UK that me and NK and Sonal will find ourselves there. And if they have a Yujiro shirt, I will be buying one for Sonal and she will have to wear it for the majority.
Oh, no. No, the funny thing is,
this is a promise.
When I went to see New Japan before Evil went to House of Torture and you said, I'll buy you an Evil shirt, I said, hell yeah. He was like my spirit animal. I was obsessed with him. Like, I knew he wasn't a good wrestler, but I just loved his gimmick and like the whole everything is evil. But now I just feel like we leave Evil out of the G1. No one's going to miss him.
I say that like, I've been saying this about the G1. I bring back some bring back some foreign talent, and when I mean foreign, I don't just mean Western. I mean like bring some talent from Noah. You've got working relationship with these companies. Like, I listen, I will never forget Naomichi Marufuji pinning Kazuchika Okada in the G1. Like, that something stuff like that. Like, it's the tournament of all tournaments. I should be seeing, like, the best of the best, you know? You know, bring Nakajima. I'm sure he's not doing anything during that period of time. Bring the hell, bring Kaito Kiyomiya. Like, I not just Noah, guys. I'm sure that Tetsuya Endo from DDT might would want to come over. Like, I'm not saying you got to flood the card with different talent from different companies, but add some variety. Add an X Factor, add a wild card in there.
I think I would certainly prefer like a Nakajima or a Kiyomiya or someone like that. I know a guy than necessarily an AEW guy to show up. I think,
yeah,
personally. I know obviously AEW fans will want AEW guys in New Japan. Like, you know, if I had to pick between Danielson or someone else, I'm going to pick Danielson. But realistically, yeah, you know, I don't think I think we get a Danielson eventually. But yeah, that Marufuji match, and then, you know, you got the title match as a result of it, because Okada was a champion, which made the match even more insane. The Marufuji pinned the IWGP Heavyweight Champion at the time. I would love that. But then, so to round up the New Japan Cup, of course, the final is Sanada versus David Finlay. We went into this, and I think from everyone I spoke to, there was no obvious winner. It was, you can't go to the Naito well again. You know, no one's built enough to be a challenger for Okada. And they set up this tournament, made so many new players in New Japan. You've got Aussie Open now as big single players, which no one would have thought of before. David Finlay now in contention for top titles. Sanada refreshed better than ever with just five guys. There's definitely people I'm forgetting to mention, because like
Aaron Hanare.
Yeah, Aaron Hanare had an incredible match versus Shingo, and his match versus Tama was equally good as well. And then, yeah, the final, less than 20 minutes. Sanada versus David Finlay. Sanada eventually picking up the win with his new modified DDT, hitting the Shining Wizard before that to win the tournament, to call out Kazuchika Okada. He's got, you know, we haven't even talked about the fact that he's got an entirely new look as well. He's got a haircut. He's had a shave.
I think we should let Sanada have the floor when it comes to for the look. Like,
guide us through Sanada, his look.
The floor is yours.
The funniest thing was, obviously, I was shocked when I saw it, but it was the comments after from, obviously, Just Five Guys, Kanemaru, and all, like, I didn't recognize. I thought you were a fan. And it's like, and Sanada's like, wait, you were going to get rid of me? And I almost think Sanada's got a bit more of a personality now. Like, even in after the match when Okada came down and he went, I won't go out of that exit. Like, where was this Sanada in LIJ? The jokes he's having with the Just Five Guys, like, it's the weirdest bunch of people, like Taka Michinoku and Sanada, but it just works. Like, aside from like the fact that Sanada's new look looks great, because honestly, I was getting a bit tired of the beard. I just feel like these five guys, Just Five Guys, works together in the most mismatched way. You've got two juniors, Taka Michinoku, two heavyweights. Like, I mean, is there?
I like how Taka Michinoku isn't a junior heavyweight or a heavyweight. He's his own species of wrestler.
You got a Taka Michinoku.
Got a Taka Michinoku division where it's just him.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, I feel like he's the perfect. He obviously went from Zack Sabre Jr.'s hype guy to now Just Five Guys hype guy. And I feel like, because I know people have been saying, oh, they're a joke and stuff. And I think it's only recently they got their first win as a group. I think it was during the tournament. But now with Sanada, it feels like there's some legitimacy there. And I mean, maybe the haircut sort of helped, because now I feel like Sanada wouldn't have been as cohesive with the rest of them if he had like this big like blonde hair and beard. So, you know, I'm happy. I think they're now my favorite faction.
And we need to get them a burger deal. We need to get the burger deal. Licensing.
We'll get copyrighted. That's my issue. Has Taka thought about this?
I apparently Five Guys isn't a thing in Japan, so they're probably a bit safe. But yeah, but like today I've got the New Japan Cup final on the TV. My fiance is working away, we're both working from home, and I went, oh, have you seen the new Sanada? Because she casually follows New Japan, she doesn't have much of a fucking choice if you live with me. And she turned around, she's like, what? She's like, he looks about 20 years younger. She's like, that's not him. And I was like, yeah, no, he's shaved, like, you know, got a new hairstyle. She was in shock. I think she wasn't a big Sonata fan, but she is now, probably for the same reason Sonata is now.
I mean, I've always been a Sonata fan, to be fair, but no, on that more yet, of a Sonata fan. She walked in and she's like, wait, who's that? Because my mum's a huge Okada fan. And she watched him, she's like, who's that? Like, Sonata. She's like, oh, he might be my new favorite now. He might beat Okada.
I mean, that's how you get people into wrestling. I think you like, I got my fiance into wrestling. She saw Finn Balor and the rest was history. You know, she saw the abs that you can fucking grate cheese on that I can never live up to. But yeah, the final, and then during the final as well, the whole show was great. Top to bottom, every match delivered. There was stuff going on in every match. And then we get this weird vignette teaser out of nowhere. There is usually when there's one of these, people have it gets narrowed down relatively quickly to a small group of people who it could be. That no one's got any idea with this one, right? Has anyone seen anything that they think might be realistic? Who this vignette could possibly be?
I've seen people saying Bryan Danielson and Jay White. I mean, I don't think that's going to be the case, but I feel like they're the only ones that have been thrown around. Like, I thought, could it be a like Tsuji or someone, but it doesn't fit with him. Uemura doesn't fit there either. Like, it's just...
This is the one with the police and the cop car, right?
Yeah, and then, like, this weird kind of dragon, like, wolf thing at the end opening its eyes. Yeah, I mean, I think I've seen people say, you know, obviously it doesn't fit with their gimmicks whilst they're on excursion and stuff like that, but not every person tends to bring their gimmick whilst they're on excursion back. I think that's more of a relatively new thing. Shota Umino is the only one that springs to mind that's done that recently.
Jay's was very different. Jay's came back with a completely different look.
Jay on excursion was just a Kiwi boy that wrestled. He didn't really have much of a gimmick at all. And then, you know, Master Watto was wrestling in Mexico. You know, Hiromu was Kamitachi. No one really tends to keep their excursion gimmick much. Great O'Khan did, but played it up a little bit more and different and things like that. He dropped the R. It was Great O'Khan, wasn't it? I've got no idea who this might be, but that's kind of more exciting than usual, right? Than it being obvious. Like, you remember El Fantasmo's vignette and everyone, like, it started and everyone's like, oh, that's El Fantasmo. Like, within the first two minutes, there was no surprise at all.
I feel like it's also maybe more likely that it's not even a young lion and it could just be anyone. But I feel like now, with such a big vignette, if it's someone that isn't a big name, everyone's just going to be like, oh, that's not.
I think
they
usually deliver.
Yeah.
Like it's so weird because normally there is a tiny hint, but I don't know if Tsuji is ready to come back from its going because I know he's been splitting his time between England and Mexico. Similarly with Uemura, I don't know what he's been doing in America. Like, he's been doing quite a few different, like, he's promotions.
He was most recently on Impact, right?
Yeah, he's been on Impact roster. But he got injured in his last match against Sammy Callahan, so I don't think...
I think he has wrestled since then. I don't know how serious the injury was. He was able to confirm. I know he obviously got help to the back and stuff like that, and people feared the worst. He did put out a tweet to say that, like, you know, he's doing fine and things like that. But on this card, we had a junior heavyweight championship match, Lio Rush versus Romo Takahashi. SP3 already alluded to it at the top. I know he's so excited to talk about this match. He fucking loved it. SP3, Hiromu versus Lio Rush. Take us through it, man.
This was Lio Rush's best match. As someone that has seen Lio Rush since he first started out as a top prospect in Ring of Honor and saw so many good to great matches during his run with Ring of Honor into WWE and, you know, being a manager, but also having great matches over on NXT with Angel Garza, this was his best match. Like, just how fast paced it was. And I love how you really, like, the one thing that I watched from the New Japan Cup that was besides the matches for the tournament was Lio Rush and Hiromu going at it in these six-man and tag team matches, and every match was either good to great, and I enjoyed the hell out of it. But it told the story of how Hiromu kept chasing after Lio Rush and trying to slow him down and trying to catch him with his big moves, and he was never able to in any of those multi-man matches. So just watching this match and knowing that story, it made my enjoyment of this match even more. And I saw, you know, a lot of people that were very high on the Yo versus Hiromu Takahashi match, and I love that matchup from the New Beginning, but I felt like this match was even better because of the story going into it, because Lio Rush just coming with that new intensity, the half face paint and stuff, and then using the direct drive as a shout out to Yo and showing that relationship and that friendship, that bond that they've created in this matchup as well. I thought this was top notch. This was just an excellent junior heavyweight matchup, and probably, in my opinion, probably the best junior heavyweight matchup since Hiromu versus El Desperado in the Super Juniors finals back in 2020. This was just so damn good, just every minute of it. And then the crowd just cheering and just at their apex towards the end when Hiromu hits him with the lariat and then hits time bomb too. The near falls were amazing with Lio Rush coming so close a couple of times, Hiromu hitting the time bomb one and him kicking out, Lio Rush kicking out. It was just so great in every possible way. This was my favorite junior heavyweight matchup, like I said, in 3 years. Hiromu has been delivering, and I want this reign to continue, but I don't know, after this new challenger, they may want to bring this new challenger in and give him the big push, but Hiromu's reign is off to a great start.
That's high praise from SP3 there, and he's alluded to it. NK, at the end of the match, here comes Zack Sabre Jr. To announce that he's going junior heavyweight and he wants to challenge Hiromu. No, he introduces the newest member.
I actually thought that was going to happen because, like, he could probably pass as, like, a junior, and I thought, oh, maybe he wants to hold, like, two belts.
Zacky two belts back again. But no, he says he's got the next challenger for Hiromu and to play the video package, dickheads, because they probably missed their cue. But yeah, he introduces the newest member of TMDK, and I didn't expect this person. There have been rumblings on the Australian independence. This person had been handed a United Empire band by a TJP. It seemed like he was United Empire bound, and lo and behold, Robbie Eagles is the newest member of TMDK, and he's challenging Hiromu Takahashi for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. NK, what do you think? Is this a good move for Robbie? Do you like him as part of TMDK?
I haven't been the biggest, like, Robbie Eagles or somebody, like, I respect his work, but I've never been, like, the biggest fan of his, like, in terms of, like oh my god, he's must-see. But TMDK are a very interesting faction. I feel like they're a culmination of guys that I felt like for a long time were underlooked by New Japan. I felt like even though Zach's probably the person who's probably been pushed the most, but even Zach, at times I felt like, damn, like Zach could have... The fact that Zach didn't win an IC title when the IC title was a thing was like kind of hurt me, because I always felt like, you know, he might not be the guy to like win the big one, but like he certainly is deserving of like something like a US title or something like that. And obviously, obviously the tag team as well, you know, they've been an amazing tag team, but like they've kind of not been recognized as like a prominent tag team when you compare them to like even some of the top guys in New Japan and across the world. And Robbie Eagles, I feel like TMDK are a faction that, you know, are guys that we all know are good, but guys who have something to prove. And Robbie Eagles could definitely be a great fit into that faction, and he could definitely, you know, turn a lot of heads this year. And I feel like that group in general, like, they're an interesting group. They haven't done anything yet. Obviously, still early days. They haven't done anything yet that's groundbreaking or earth-shattering yet. But I feel like they're going to be a group that are slowly going to grow on people. I just hope that it's not a thing where too many people are added to the group. I want it to be like a solid cohesive unit, maybe like at most like a 6-man squad.
Well, I just had a quick little Google, because Robbie Eagle joined New Japan officially 2018. He was, of course, part of Bullet Club with Taiji Ishimori. Yeah, he's been with New Japan for Super Junior Tag League. That was in October, 2018. Yeah. So in 3.5 years, 4.5 years, he's changed factions twice. He started off in Bullet Club, which wasn't a good fit. He's then joined Chaos, and now he's joined United Empire. No one switches factions that much in Japanese wrestling, let alone New Japan. What's going on with Robbie so now?
So I've always been like a big Robbie supporter. Like, I know, because he went through a phase where he was constantly in New Japan, but now he's not been. And at first, when I saw the Empire thing, I thought, right, that will work perfectly. But thinking about it now, I think as NK said, if TMDK stay small, so if they stay as like Zach, Shane, Mikey, Fujita, and Robbie, and then obviously they help.
The bad dude Tito disrespect on this podcast, guys. Bad dude Tito is a big part of TMDK. Don't miss out, my boy, sorry. Big Tito.
And Tito, like I feel like they can be a really good unit. And I also think that TMDK did need a junior. I think every faction needs a junior in some way. Mm. And I mean, again, like NK said, they've not really had much time to prove anything. Really, we've just been seeing Zach train Fujita. But I think maybe this will help Robbie find an identity, because like you're saying, like, why did it? Bullet Club wasn't right. We always say that Chaos is kind of, even more like Hontites, kind of the guys who just don't really fit in anywhere cohesive, like with an identity. So maybe now he's in TMDK, we can find something. Because, I mean, we don't know TMDK's identity yet. Like, they're not, we don't know whether Babyface is healed, what they're going to do. But with such a small faction, I feel like Robbie can shine, not be overshadowed by Bullet Club shenanigans or Okada at the head of Chaos. It might be the perfect, especially going into the Super Juniors, exactly what Robbie needs. Though I don't feel like he's going to beat Hiromu just yet. I feel like it's too early for that.
I would like a long Hiromu run. I don't think he's really had a proper long run with the title. And yeah, he certainly not, I wouldn't even say deserving, because he's had the title so many times and he's won so many best of the Super Juniors and things. But it's nice when you get a long run after so long, and then the loss certainly means something, and it instantly makes the person that wins important. But speaking of best of the Super Juniors, best of the Super Junior 30 has been announced. And as it was already said, there's going to be 12 shows over 16 days taking place from May 12th to May 28th. It is going to be packed. We don't know how many entrants. We don't know who's going to be in there. But Nana Marfo on Twitter did ask, who are our early picks to win the tournament? It's a difficult one, not knowing who's going to be in there. I think not knowing who the champion is makes things more difficult. Because if they go to the Hiromu well one more time, I might have to cancel my New Japan World subscription.
Yeah, I can't do that again. I really can't. Like, and honestly, like, it's going to sound blasphemous, but I would be happy if Hiromu's not in the title match at next year's Wrestle Kingdom. I know that's like blasphemy, because it's like, yeah, like, it's kind of like, I love Hiromu, but it's kind of like the cycle of like the repetition of him is getting tedious. I don't know who's going to win. Do you know, like, I want to, it's not going to happen, but Yo, I would love to see Yo win it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that certainly makes sense. SP3, who's your early, super early pick to win Best of the Super Juniors this year?
Master Wado. I'm gotta go with Master Wado. He's on his way to the Grandmaster. He stopped crawling. He was crawling for a while to the Grandmaster. He's actually on his feet and he's walking his way to the Grandmaster. I want him to start speeding down that lane to the Grandmaster. Mm. So I think that Master Wado gets the win. But I may be in the minority here on this podcast, but I want Hiromu to hold the Junior Heavyweight Championship for a year. I want a full year Hiromu reign. And Kevin Kelly kind of teased it on commentary. The record is 12 defenses of the Junior Heavyweight Championship. I need Hiromu to break that. He needs to break all the records so there's nothing left for him to do in the Junior Heavyweight Division, and then he can move on, and then you can get your Hiromu out of the title picture if he gets this record, and then he's done everything in the Junior Heavyweight. The most best of Super Junior wins, the most title defenses, five-time champion. He needs everything to check off the list so I can be right from the previous podcast I did with Kerry before we started here, that Hiromu Takahashi is the greatest junior heavyweight of all time.
It when you look at accomplishments, when all is said and done, Hiromu could very much outweigh Liger. Of course, Liger's influence is very much more of an innovator and making the junior division doesn't exist in its current capacity. Yeah. Without Jushin Thunder Liger, of course, it'd be very two different sides of the same coin. But best of the Super Juniors last year, there was so much fresh blood. Alex Zane, El Linderman, Ace Austin, Wheeler Yuta. So many new guys, so many cool guys from within Japan, from within AEW, from the independents. So now, who are your dream picks to see rock up in Best of Super Juniors this year from another promotion? I'm going to take a, you know, the last episode of Ace Techers, it got a bit raunchy. There was a bit of, you know, talking about All-Star Junior Festival. You know, I wasn't here to make sure this was PG, apparently. So, you know, I'm going to take a guess that Sanal's pick might come from DDT for the Best of Super Juniors.
Yeah, I mean, just literally, I think a few hours ago, they announced that Desperado was facing Daisuke Sasaki. Sasaki from DDT. And obviously, he's been in a Best of Super Junior before, I believe.
Long time ago, he has. Yeah.
We're going back and watching it. I don't know if they'll do it, obviously, because this match is set for July, and they might want to do it first time, but... Umino or Mao, like either of those two. Because I mean, it's hard with DDT because they're an open weight company to figure out who is junior and who isn't is kind of difficult. Like, because I think NK said, did you say Endo for like the junior or something? Then like, I always thought Endo was a junior.
Yeah, it gets like, confusing. Yeah, because they could go up against anybody. So it's like, yeah, that's why DDT is like confusing.
So like I would have gone like Uno, Endo or Mao. I think one of those three because, yeah, like some of them have been in New Japan rings before. I think Uno might have done as well. And also I think any three of those guys can kind of, they'll be known to a lot of Japanese fans, but maybe less to foreign fans. And I think they're the best people to represent DDT, not some of the raunchiness that maybe people assume that DDT is. And I mean, Uno versus like Yo or something, or Uno versus like, I'm trying to think, any of like the big high flies, I think would work really well.
I want to go next because I was gutted to miss the last episode because the last episode you guys talked about All-Star Junior Festival and I loved that show. I had stuck it on and I was like, I'll skip all the entrances and I'll get through it quickly. And I spent my whole evening watching it. I watched every entrance because I was like, I don't know these guys. I don't know their entrance music. Who I want to see in the Best of Super Juniors is Fujita Junior Hayato from that show. I instantly fell in love with that guy. Like Chris Charlton was putting him over big time on commentary. And I was like, Chris, you're digging a hole here. If this guy don't deliver, you're not going to look really that great. But he made his entrance and he's got like Japanese Rastafarian entrance music that I listen to. It's not on Spotify. It kills me. I can't add it to my playlist. I have to go to YouTube and listen to it. I fell in love with it and I fell in love with the man and I need him. I look, it would be very hypocritical of me to say I want him in New Japan because you should go and seek out the people, you know.
Yeah.
You shouldn't want them to come to you. You know, they wrestle where they wrestle. But I would love to see him represent his company, his title belt in Best of the Super Juniors. That's my one dream pick for this tournament. SP3, dream pick to join Best of the Super Juniors. And you can't say Vikingo.
Oh man. You just had me right there. I would definitely say Vikingo, but I won't leave him out. I will say before I give my pick, the two people that I think earned a spot in the Best of Super Juniors tournament is from last year's tournament, El Linderman. El Linderman was an MVP candidate for last year's junior tournament, and Amakusa over the last couple of months with his match with Hiromu on the Muda show and his performance on the Wrestle Kingdom 2 show. I think he's earned a spot, but my picks is actually two people that I actually recently interviewed that both said they would be interested in being in the Best of the Super Junior tournament. And that's Chris Bay from Impact Wrestling and the X Division champion, Trey Miguel. Both of them have said that they would love to go to Japan and be a part of the Best of Super Juniors tournament. And that is something on both of their bucket lists that they want to check off. So definitely, I would say if I had to pick one, Trey Miguel, because Chris said he's focusing more on the tag team with him and Ace Austin now that they won the Impact tag team titles. But Trey Miguel, he was very excited and he was very adamant that it's something that he's been asking for. So if I had to pick one, it would be Trey Miguel in the Best of Super Juniors.
Trey Miguel is crazy talented. Best before you didn't plug, where can we check out these interviews? Get your plugs in, man.
That's on the True Hill Heat YouTube channel. We got the Trey Miguel interview is dropping this week when you listen to this on Wrestle In, and then next week is the Chris Bay interview.
Oh, so even getting some early inside scoops here on Ace Techers from SP3. NK, run us out. Who are you?
Yeah, man, SP3 kind of said it, but yeah, my pick was Amakusa, man. My first time watching him was obviously at the Keiji Muto retirement show. And like his match with Hiromu was crazy. Just Amakusa is somebody that I would definitely want to see. And then I was thinking of a guy, but then I remember he wrestles for AAA, so it won't happen. I was thinking of a commander, but but he wrestles for AAA. AAA Cibolo, fix the beef, man. Fix it, peace, unity, please.
I think NK and SP3, you guys could form a peace treaty with CMLL and AAA.
We need like, to.
The United Nations of Wrestling.
Exactly. Bring Okada with you from the first episode. Okada for United for sure. Nations, NKSP3. Sure. you'll squash the beef. SP3 mentioned Trey Miguel, which is perfect segue because New Japan and Impact are joining forces at WrestleMania weekend for Multiverse United. And this card is incredible. You've got the thing that stands out for me, like I'm a big TJPW fan. They had an awesome show, Grand Princess.
Yes.
It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. We're getting a TJPW wrestler, Miyu Yamashita, in a New Japan ring. That's pretty fucking mind.
What? I've not seen this announcement. What?
Yeah.
When did this happen? You're getting live reactions here from Sunil for the first time. So we'll start with that match then. The card order, I don't think, has been announced. But for the Impact Knockout Championship, there is a four-way match. Defending champion Mickey James, defending against Deonna Purrazzo, Giselle Shaw, and Miyu Yamashita. It's such a stacked match, but to throw Miyu in there, I think that just blew everyone's mind.
I can't wait to see Miyu and Mickey James going at it. That's going to be great. Her and Deonna would be great. Just these are four very talented women that are just different in all their styles, where you got Miyu, who's more of like the hard hitting, that those kicks. Oh, my God. I was loving that tag team.
Spinning kick is ridiculous.
That tag team match with her and Maki Ito versus the Wasteland War Party, that was a good matchup. And just the combination of Maki's headbutts with Miyu's kicks is just a great combo. Makes them a great tag team. I want to see her go at it with, you know, Deonna Purrazzo, who's one of the best technical wrestlers, regardless of gender. Giselle Shaw, who kind of has the technical and hard-hitting. And then Mickey James, who's just an all-around talent. That's going to be a great match.
It's a crazy match the way getting there. And then there's an eight-man tag match, PCO, Sami Callihan, Alex Coughlin, and Fred Rosser, who the picture of him on the New Japan website still has him with his belt. That's pretty mean. Versus Joe Hendry, Eddie Edwards, Tom Lawler, JR Kratos, and the eight-man tag matches are always good fun. And then we get another title match.
Joe Hendry is in like Scottish.
Say his name and he appears. I believe in Joe Hendry.
I think that's SP3 saying yes. So no.
No, because I interviewed him like years ago, and then obviously he went to America, and my mum's randomly like, "Oh, what's happened to Joe Hendry?" I didn't know he was in Impact.
I didn't know either. So you're not.
This is a bunch of shockers. Me, you mastered Joe Hendry.
Wow. He's the digital media champion, and another person that I interviewed. Check that out on the True Hill Heat YouTube channel.
So, there you go. SP3 knows he can get his plugs in now. He ain't going to miss an opportunity. Impact World Tag Team Championships, four-way match. You've got the champions, Ace Austin and Chris Bay, defending against Motor City Machine Guns, Alex Shelley, Chris Sabin, Aussie Open, Carl Fletcher, Mark Davis, and TNDK, Shane Haste, and my boy Bad Dude Tito. This is a ridiculous four-way match. Like, do we get new champions, or do we think? I know, I don't think any of us here religiously follow Impact, but NK, do you think Chris Bay and Ace Austin walk away with a title still?
No, but I still think it'll be a great match. This card is like, as you're reading this card, I'm like, wow, like this card is slept on. Why are people talking about this more? This is crazy.
It's insane. I think it gets better. Then you've got a six-way scramble match for the X Division Championship. You've got defending champion Trey Miguel taking on Rich Swann, Frankie Kazarian, Rocky Romero, Clark Knights, and the Jet himself, Kevin Knight. Again, this is just outrageous. New Japan, let's just throw a bunch of sick juniors together and let them go crazy. Like, I think Trey Miguel probably retains because it's just an absurd match. But like, it's so cool to see a guy like Kevin Knight in a match like this. I love the dude.
Oh yeah, I'm a huge fan of Kevin Knight. Listen, push that boy to the moon. Yeah, I'm excited.
Ooh. I think Kevin Knight can be the future ace of the junior heavyweight division. Like, I've got a lot of money riding on him to be a mega fucking star.
We say that. I hope he stays as a junior because I thought the same for Narita and he went to heavyweight. So if we can all keep our hopes that Kevin Knight's going to stay the junior, then I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, the Ren Narita, certainly when he was a young lion, people had him pegged as a junior. Then we get a trio of singles matches. We've got Jeff Cobb taking on Moose. Big meaty men slapping meat. we've got Mike Bailey scheduled to face Will Ospreay, but of course Will Ospreay is unfortunately injured. He's Rev Pro have announced he's had to pull out of the York Hall show this Sunday. NK, you going?
Nah, I can't. I won't be there.
Man, I'll be there. So he can't be there. And then Tanahashi said in his backstage comments today at the New Japan Cup final that he will be a substitute for Will Ospreay at Multiverse United, and he's excited to make an impact. It hasn't outright said that he will be Speedball Mike Bailey's opponent, but we could be getting Speedball versus Tanahashi, guys.
On Wikipedia, it says Mike Bailey versus Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Wikipedia, that's never lies. No, but I would love it. I mean, Speedball Mike Bailey, he was the MVP of WrestleMania 38 last year weekend because he had 9 matches in 3 days. And this dude is insane because a couple of hours before he's probably versing Tanahashi on this Multiverse United show, he's versus Kota Ibushi in Bloodsport. So, and then he's going to turn around the next day. He's got a matchup on the DDT versus GCW show against Nick Wayne and Jordan Oliver, and then he's going to turn around and do Joey Janela's Spring Break against Vikingo. So
is he trying to one up last year, do we think? Because he was, no one had any question that he was MVP of WrestleMania weekend last year.
He legitimately, another person I interviewed on the True Hill Heat YouTube channel, he legitimately said he's trying to top what he was able to do last year at WrestleMania weekend this year. So he's well on his way to doing it. But him versus Tanahashi is a lot different of a matchup than what we would have had with him and Will Ospreay. So I'm interested to see if that goes down.
I prefer this matchup versus Tanahashi. He's faced Ospreay a few times. He's faced him at York Hall, and I think he's faced him like 2 or 3 times, basically. And whilst they will put on a great spectacular match, you know, the dude gets to wrestle Tanahashi, I'm sure he's a bit more excited about that. Also, you don't even need to go to True Hill. You can just stay with Wrestle In to check out a Speedball Mike Bailey interview. Just go to WrestleIn.com. There's one there on the platform you're already listening to. And he's the nicest guy in the world as well. I went for a Nando's with him after a Red Pro show once upon a time. And he was just taking the piss out of people that do leg slaps and stuff all the time. I think he was, I won't say the wrestler, but there was an NXT darling. And he was like, oh yeah, they do a chop slap.
I know exactly what you're talking about, but yeah.
I didn't say any names. And then what I'm assuming is the main event, I don't know if this is the match card order, like I said, Impact World Championship on the line. Josh Alexander defending against Kushida. I think it's a shame. When I was getting prepared for this podcast, like, Josh Alexander's reign, when all is said and done and you look at it just as a list, it's going to be one of the... It's easily the Impact's greatest title reign ever, but it's going to be one of the best title reigns of a world champion of all time.
It is, in my opinion. Like, when you go back to how he won the title at Rebellion last year in Moose's best match of his entire career, then he turned around like a couple of weeks later versus Tomohiro Ishii at Under Siege. He had a great match with Eric Young. He's had a match against Joe Doring. He had a great match against Frankie Kazarian, Eddie Edwards.
Tomohiro Ishii?
Yeah. Yep, he's had banger after banger, and he's the longest reigning Impact Wrestling world champion of all time, a record that was there for like over a decade. So he has had one of the best world title reigns out there, and I think Josh Alexander is arguably the most underrated wrestler in all of wrestling right now.
Yeah, and I think that's not his fault. It's Impact. You know, I thought it's part of Impact. Impact's just never going to be the biggest fish in the pond. Yeah. But yeah, Multiverse United is stacked. It's on March 30th. It's an incredibly ridiculous card. WrestleMania weekend just looks like the best thing in the world these days. Like, I wish it was that good when I was fucking gave a shit about WWE and was paying all that money to fly to America, man. MK, are you doing WrestleMania this year? Some of the wrestling boys are doing WrestleMania, right?
Yeah, no, some of the men are doing WrestleMania this year, but just, yeah, I won't be there.
You're saving the pennies and pounds for Wrestle Kingdom, right?
Yeah.
Smart man. But yeah, speaking of, again, you know, we mentioned it at the top, Forbidden Door. It's just called Forbidden Door, but we're gonna call it Forbidden Door, yeah. Two Forbidden Door. Someone made a point that the third one, if you know, it would be on that stream, would be in Tokyo. It'd be Forbidden Door Tokyo Drift. So you know, if let's see if they keep if they go for a Fast and Furious gimmick with these, and which will be good because they'll never end as well. We'll get Forbidden Door forever. But yeah, Forbidden Door is happening. It's in Canada, like SP3 said, which is awesome. They're gonna be so pumped for it because they don't get shit like this. And it's happening June 25th. We've got nothing announced at the moment, but you know, early doors. What realistic matches do we want to happen here? Because I think we could safely assume we're maybe going to get Danielson Sabre Jr. because that was going to happen last year. Sabre showing up in AEW, and unfortunately Danielson got injured. You know, I think for me the question is, I can't see MJF defending his AEW World Championship against anyone on a New Japan roster. I don't see who MJF would gel with on a New Japan roster in a title match.
Do you know, I was thinking, it's either, do you know what I think would be an interesting match? MJF Naito. I think just the whole tank, like, because Naito would piss off MJF, like, in terms of, like, especially like the Tranquilo gimmick, him just rolling in the ring, doing all that, that'd be interesting. But I feel like the easiest match you could do is Tanahashi versus MJF. You've got like the purest baby faces in the world. And then you got MJF, who's just like, you know, for lack of a better word, a dick. So so I just think like those two would be great together. But obviously Tanahashi competed for the AEW championship last year, so I mean, they don't want him to lose again. But MJF would be a hard match. It's kind of a difficult one.
He could drop the title by then. Is it double or nothing the next AEW pay-per-view?
Yeah, there's double or nothing before the pay-per-view, yeah.
So maybe he doesn't go in as champion anyway. But yeah, I think the thing is, you need a legitimate contender. You can't throw a Hiroki Goto in there because you know he's never going to win. It's got to be top-tier New Japan talent that can take the loss and it be okay and also work well with MJF. And I think there's a very limited pool there. You don't have much choice.
Yeah. Yeah, I think my pick for now would probably be Naito. I think Naito wasn't available on the last Forbidden Door show, and he'd be like a great baby face that the crowd would get over, would get with. And yeah, I feel like him and MJF would have a very interesting match. And MJF has certainly proved with his match with Danielson and just throughout his AEW career that he can go toe-to-toe with some of the best in the world, isn't it? And Naito would definitely be a different stylistic matchup you haven't seen from him. So yeah, I think MJF Naito is my pick.
Who would be your worst case but realistic person to become IWGP World Heavyweight Champion from AEW? So I don't want you to, you know, I don't want someone to say Danhausen because that's never going to happen. Who could you realistically see holding New Japan's top prize from AEW, but you absolutely just not being a fan of it all? SP3, you're the AEW guy out of the three of us here. You can go first whilst the rest of us scratch our brains.
I mean, if you're just saying who's the most realistic, but I wouldn't like it, I would say Jon Moxley. I mean, I would love. I think that's my pick to first Okada for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship at Forbidden Door right now, because Moxley just turned heel, and I think that would just be a great matchup. And it's one of the rare matches we haven't seen from Moxley in New Japan. Like, they teamed one time, but they never were able to go one on one. So that's like my pick right now to go against Okada. So I would say Jon Moxley would be the pick to win the title.
I've just gone onto the AEW roster page. Yeah. Who the fuck is Trench?
That is a tattooed face guy that is a part of Mogul Affiliates with Swerve Strickland.
Okay, yeah,
he's like, never wrestled though.
I keep up with AEW, but even like, I had no idea who the fuck that guy is. So now, what matches do you hope to see at Forbidden Door? You know, I know you don't watch AEW, but it's Forbidden Door. We've got to talk about it.
I have one. I've been hoping this for years. Tanahashi versus Hangman Page. Just because of how Hangman Page left, and like, I think it was the G1, and Tanahashi said, I want to suck all the poison out of him. Mm-hmm. And I had high hopes. I was like, Hangman babyface turn, Hangman in Hontai. I was like, and then he left. I just want them to finish this story, because I've always said, if there's anyone from AEW I want to see back in New Japan, and I was like, oh, I should do a video, it's Hangman Page. I loved Hangman Page in AEW, maybe not as part of Bullet Club, but like just generally him. And the fact that, like, for some reason, even like this long on, that quote from Tanahashi still has me. And I feel like, let's finish it there. Let's see these two, like, either like finding mutual respect. Maybe it leads to Hangman coming back to New Japan. I don't know. But yeah, I'd love to see Tanahashi versus Hangman, because I think stylistically very, I think similar in a sense, but obviously Tanahashi's getting on a bit. But I feel like it would just be a really nice match. And especially for people like me who watched New Japan when Hangman was there and followed him and stuff and had high hopes for him, I think it'd be a nice match. And I think semi-realistic. I think like it could happen. It's not 100%. Crazy.
Yeah, 100%.
Can we all do a prayer circle that Will Ospreay is back for Forbidden Door so we can get Ospreay Omega 2? Because that, I feel like that's the perfect matchup, because it's in Canada, where you could say the first match was in Ospreay's new home of Japan, and now you got in Canada Omega's home country. I think that's just perfect symmetry.
I've got a match. If we don't get that match, I want Omega Shingo.
Omega wants Omega Shingo, doesn't he?
Omega, I want Omega. Like, if for some reason we don't get, because I was thinking, like, because obviously the match everyone's looking wants to book is obviously Ospreay Omega 2, and you know, I think that's the match realistically that they should book. But if they don't book it, I would do Omega Shingo, and then maybe I would do Hangman Ospreay. Hangman Ospreay, just to like, yeah.
I think with the Omega Ospreay thing is that this will then kind of almost lead into the G1. So if Ospreay is US champion, like, you know, I think Ospreay is lots of people's early picks to win the G1 this year, given the story he's telling about this has got to be his final year. He's got to achieve what he wants to achieve. Him winning it as a US champion obviously kind of makes that less likely. But one thing I would like to see is keep the trios titles on House of Black. House of Black versus United Empire. They were part of that trios tournament. Yep. They picked up the win over Death Triangle, who went on to become champions. They've got a claim if you want to make it legitimate. Get Carl Fletcher, Will Ospreay, and Mark Davis versus Malakai Black, Brody King, and Buddy Matthews. Brody King and Mark Davis going at each other. Those two beasts.
Two big beefy men.
not meaty, beefy. There's a difference. Yeah.
Do you think we get some women's the Mercedes Moné on the pay-per-view defend the IWGP Women's Championship?
I'm glad NK brought it up, because I didn't cross my mind at all. I hope there is some representation of the women. Like last year, it was Toni Storm versus someone.
Thunder Rosa.
It was basically in-house AEW, because New Japan didn't have a women's division at the point in time, but now they do. So I'd love to see Mercedes, you know, go against Hikaru Shida, for example. That'd be an interesting match.
And even if it's not Mercedes, say if Mayu Iwatani defeats Mercedes, All-Star Queendom, give me Mayu versus Shida, Mayu versus Jamie Hayter, I'd be down for all of
them. Give Mayu a good fucking opponent, please. Because at the New York show, I think it was Kelly Klein she maybe faced. I haven't seen anything of Kelly Klein other than that match. So I've only got that one match to go off of, and she wasn't very good. And Mayu Taiyo is obviously one of the greatest of all time. Give her a good fucking opponent and let her dazzle in front of a sold out Toronto crowd with tons of Western fans watching. Like, please give Mayu a time to outplay for him if she is the champion. But yeah, I hope the IWGP Women's title is defended there and we get some Stardom representation, even if it is just Mayu on this card.
Yeah.
Because that was lacking last year.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I want even for someone to go up against Jamie Hayter, listen, give me Utami versus Jamie Hayter. When it comes to Stardom, Utami is my favorite. I love her to bits. Give me Utami versus Jamie Hayter, and yeah, I will pay for the pay-per-view 10 times.
So NK will pay for Utami's flight to Forbidden.
Yeah.
Also, I'm thinking this, so you know, I've completely forgot Takeshita's part of AEW.
Yes. Yeah.
God damn.
Give me Takeshita versus anyone on the New Japan roster, please. That would be my dream match.
That would be crazy.
So now get some the monkey paw moment now where we get Takeshita versus Yujiro Takahashi, but she's still happy.
God.
I'll take it.
It's the closest I'm gonna get to Takeshita in New Japan. But I think Takeshita and Sanada, Takeshita and Desperado.
Takeshita and Ishii is my dream. Oh, that would be my dream. Yes.
Yeah.
Any big name, not let's exclude the House of Torture. No House of Torture people. Takeshita versus anyone except the House of Torture.
There's so many titles that can be defended in Dream Match because you've got this never six man titles that we haven't even touched. You've got Strong Style, yeah. Desperado, Narita Suzuki. You could put them against the random AEW pair.
Unless
you can
make House of Torture get it back because they're challenging it, aren't they?
Do
you know what I would love? I would love, so Orange Cassidy's got the All International title, right? Or formerly known as All Atlantic. And you know, in order for the title to really embrace the name, I'd love a New Japan guy to win it. Make the title actually feel international and take that title to Japan and you know, have it be defended. I think it will just it would give we complain about sometimes some of these guys not having anything to compete for. The never open weight title doesn't mean as much as it used to. You know, bringing in a new title, even temporarily, and it's an AEW title, will give, you know, guys on the New Japan roster who aren't doing much this year something to compete for. So I think New Japan talents should take some belts home, even if it's temporarily. I know they're not going to take the big AEW title home, but take something minor home.
Especially since Kenny's taken the US title hostage.
This is true. My dream Orange Cassidy matchup is Orange Cassidy versus Tetsuya Naito. The two laziest men in professional wrestling going at it. That would be magic.
Would the match even begin?
20 minutes Naito taking off his ring gear, that'll probably be most of the show.
Exactly. I liked, speaking about the International Championship, NK, I liked when Pac was the first champion and he was defending it on the Indies. He defended it in Rev Pro. And I thought that was maybe going to be the what they were going to set up to be. It would be defended on the Independence. It could be defended anywhere. And that's exciting. And then, of course, Orange Cassidy has done 20 defenses. He's racking them up. Of course, they've all been on AEW. But yeah, no.
Yeah.
Now that you guys have said that, I want to see New Japan win a belt of some kind. Of AEWs, they've got the trios, they've got this international championship. The TNT championship doesn't make much fucking sense, does it? But yeah, let make it international. That's a great shout from NK. We need to get NK connecting with Tony Khan about that. there's one final topic I want to touch on, and it's about Jeff Cobb calling out Kenny Omega. But before we get to that, let's get our plugs in and then we'll hit our final topic of this podcast episode. SP3's already got a cheeky few in there, but we'll let him do his bit. So now you teased that you've just recorded a video that's going to be dropping probably about the same time as this podcast. Where can it be found?
Yeah, so you can find me on Sonal's Life on YouTube or follow me on Twitter at wrestling_chat because I'm always trying to plug my videos because I'm 50 subscribers away from 2000. So yeah.
Oh, please subscribe. Follow, get the tweet up so we can all retweet it to get you those followers on.
Yes.
NK, I see Wrestling's done a watch along for the New Japan Cup final, man.
You're finally
getting them boys to watch some proper wrestling.
Yeah, yeah, man. Day by day, step by step, man. But yeah, So we did a YouTube live reaction for our Restings member. So if you want to see that, become a member of the Restings channel. But yeah, other than that, you know, follow the Restings podcast. We deliver weekly podcasts. The man then will be shooting a lot of WrestleMania content. But for the New Japan guys, I've got you covered. You know what I'm saying? We are posting little short mini video essays on TikTok. I think the last New Japan related video essay I posted was about Mercedes Moné, dream opponents I want to see for her. But yeah, man, coolest wrestling podcast in the world. Check out Restings.
And SP3, where do we find all the True Hill Heat goodness?
You can find it on YouTube, True Hill Heat YouTube channel. We just hit 5,000 subscribers this month, so very excited about that. We got content every single day of the week, watch-alongs, reviews, the True Hill Heat flagship podcast every Saturday, 11:05 a.m. Eastern Time. You can also find me on Fightful Overbooked with FMC, talking about everything non-wrestling with Jeremy Lambert every Tuesday at 8:30 a.m. Eastern, 1:30 p.m. UK. You could also find me on the Believe in Pro Wrestling podcast YouTube channel and Wrestle Binge by Sports Keto Wrestling. So check out all those platforms if you want to hear me talk about wrestling.
And then for myself, at KieranRH93 on Twitter, but for more importantly, for WrestleIn, at WrestleIn, I-double-N. Check out the Patreon, patreon.com/WrestleIn. You can sign up for just $1 a month. I am working hard on adding new content. We've got new podcasts coming out. We've got a Choco Pro podcast coming. Our TJPW podcast is doing amazing. I've recorded some, what we're calling Noob Japan TV, so I'm going to watch matches with guests. Talk over the match as it's happening. I'm going to have some wrestlers on there. I've got a few lined up already. Alex Coughlin, Clark Connors, and Michael Oku. They're definitely going to be jumping on. They're my safety. Nice. They're my guy. They're the guys that I'm really cool with, and I know if I ask, they'll come in. And then I've got to try get the bigger fish to come on. That was bad. Yeah. Bad. I don't mean bigger fish. Just the people that I'm less close with. Check it out. $1 a month. It's a great cracking deal. You're getting tons of stuff. And I feel like, and I'm on Bread Club, Fightful, Overbooked as well, like SP3. We do different shows where I talk about all about New Japan with Matt from the Shining Wizards podcast. But as we round up, Jeff Cobb has been a busy boy in his backstage comments, calling out Kenneth Omega, saying Jeff Cobb was the world's Where's Waldo or Where's Wally, depending on where you are in the world, champion in like 1979. So he'll find Kenny Omega. He's gone to gaming bars. He's gone to maid cafes. He's gone to video game stores. He can't find Kenny Omega anywhere. He's looking. He said, and now just today, he said in his backstage comments, he's coming to St. Louis, and AEW Dynamite is in St. Louis next week. So we're going to get some type of confrontation between Kenny Omega and Jeff Cobb for the first time since New Year's Dash, more than 3 months ago, almost 4 months ago by the time it rocks around.
Yeah.
What do we hope from this? Do we want to see Kenny defending the title on Dynamite? Do we want to see it happening at Sakura Genesis? Do we think it gets held back to Forbidden Door? So now, what do you hope happens between Kenny Omega and Jeff Cobb?
So I'm really excited for this because I think Jeff Cobb has been killing it with this. Like today in the match, he did put a C trigger, like I guess Chase Owens or something, but like he did his version of the V trigger on Goto. And I think Cobb's been killing it in New Japan. I like the fact that he is emphasizing like that this is a New Japan title and he is a New Japan guy. And I feel like it's not going to happen because Kenny's not defended it, has he, since Wrestle Kingdom?
No.
My dream would be for Cobb to win it and bring it back to Japan, because like you've been saying, to bring AEW, because we don't have, like, we've lost the second major big title in New Japan. So if they want to hold out for Cobb for like a few defenses so Kenny can get something in and then Jeff can bring it back, I'd rather that, because I feel like Cobb would be an amazing US champion. I just feel like it just works.
Cobb would be a great US champion. The dude, they love him in Japan, and he is just incredible all round. He's incredibly entertaining in his backstage comments, if you haven't checked him out before. Like when he got sprayed in the face by Muta, or Bushi maybe, I think it was Muta, I want to say, at Historic Crossover. He cut his backstage promo facing the wall the entire time because he couldn't see, obviously. It's just really incredible stuff, and he's a freak in the ring. But SP3, A, give me your thoughts, but B, has Kenny Omega been coming out on AEW with the US title?
Yes, he has on the couple of, like, when they were defending the Trios Championships, he came out with the U.S. Championship. I believe he also wore the U.S. Championship on not the most recent episode of Dynamite, but I believe at Revolution. So he has been, you know, showing it off and, you know, commentary been talking about the great match that he had with Ospreay at Wrestle Kingdom. But I would love for them to just outright say it on this week's Dynamite, that next week on Dynamite, it's going to be Kenny Omega versus Jeff Cobb for the IWGP United States Championship. I'm getting the dream match I've been waiting for with him and Vikingo on this week's Dynamite. So give me back-to-back weeks of Kenny having singles matches, because this match with Vikingo is only his third singles match since he returned last August. So he needs more singles matches. So get it in with Vikingo, and then follow that up with the IWGP US Championship matchup. And then hopefully we can get Kenny on like Capital Collision that's coming up in April. Even if he's not able to be a part of Sakura Genesis, at least be part of the US show for New Japan.
NK, Tony Khan and Gedo call you up, yeah, and they're like, we don't know what the fuck, how the fuck are we going to book this US title? We got this feud with Jeff Cobb, of course there's ongoing story with Ospreay. What do you want to see happen if you're in charge? What happens with this US title?
So I feel like Jeff Cobb calls out, I think you either announced the match. I feel like this week's episode of Dynamite, you have Jeff Cobb attack Omega after the Vikingo match. I feel like Jeff Cobb should just attack Omega and immediately set up the match for the week after in St. Louis. And then I think Jeff Cobb should lose, because I feel like Kenny should get a few defenses, because I think the ultimate story is Will dethroning Kenny. And if they're going to set that up at Forbidden Door, weekly title defenses. I just feel like, or at least a title defense every other week, because obviously flying from Japan, scheduling and stuff like that. But you have Jeff Cobb step up to the challenge. Maybe, I wouldn't want the Shingo match on a Dynamite. I feel like that deserves to be on the pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. But if the ultimate match you are setting up is the Ospreay match, then you could have the Shingo match on the main event of a Dynamite and just have different opponents vying for the US Championship. It doesn't necessarily have to be always your top hitters, but you start off with Cobb. Starting off with Cobb is amazing, but then have different guys, you know, challenging for the title leading up to Forbidden Door. So the title has built some sort of credibility amongst the Western fans, and also Kenny's title reign has some defenses in it as well. So by the time you get to Forbidden Door, Kenny's already proven himself as like a credible champion within this run, because he's defended the title multiple times. And then if Ospreay takes it off him, if Omega defends it, it's a much bigger deal for both parties involved, New Japan and AEW. But yeah, man, I'm excited for this Jeff Cobb match. I've been waiting for it. Finally, we're getting the ball rolling. I'm happy that Kenny Omega's kind of fulfilled his commitments with the trio stuff. And I know there's like another storyline going on, but I want to see Kenny defend that US title. And it's the perfect reason for him to wrestle every week. You know, it's a title. He's defending his title. Kind of the way Moxley was holding it down during the pandemic days. Like, yeah. Moxley was, you know, defending the title against Nagata, defending the title against Lars Archer. I think, was Suzuki a title defense? I'm not sure. But regardless, Moxley, during the craziness that was the pandemic, Moxley was defending the title in AEW. So I would love to see that again.
Yeah, I think that was a really good plan. Like, I would have liked to see that with Kenny with this title. Just have New Japan guys every so often show up for a Dynamite 10-15 minute match. Kenny defends the title, you know, against a Clark Connors style guy and Alex Coughlin. Get your kid. You know, get these guys a bit. Obviously, I appreciate it's AEW. They want to showcase their own talent, etc., etc. We'll never understand the inner workings or the mind of Tony Khan. Tony Khan doesn't understand Tony Khan's mind, I'm sure. But yeah, I think people are certainly sleeping on how incredible this match will be, in that,
yeah, Jeff, for sure,
Kenny Omega will sell his ass off to make Jeff Cobb look incredible, and Jeff Cobb will just do it in things that nobody has done to Kenny Omega before. You know, Paul Wyatt, Big Show keeps saying he wants this match with Kenny Omega, like, this will be that, but good. But yeah, that's it for Ace Techers for another episode. We'll be back in another couple of weeks. We'll talk about what happened at Multiverse United. We'll be previewing Sakura Genesis, and it's New Japan. I'm sure there'll be tons of things happening in between that time. Maybe some more wrestlers will get haircuts, and Sanaa will be here to give us the lowdown.
Not Doki, though. Not Doki. Doki can't have a haircut. Doki's
who?
Not,
just like... Okay, so now round us out. Who do you need to, who needs a haircut in New Japan?
So obviously I would have said some. Oh, that's a hot.
I'm trying to think who's Naito.
I feel, but I've noticed that like
NK is not great. NK is not impressed with no, that I suggestion.
No, not even Naito. I like Naito's hair. That's hard. Sonata was probably like the one that I wanted to change the most. Like, no.
So when we come back in 2 weeks, and I will still be pondering this question. She says she'll have an answer. She'll still be unsure. But no, thank you for listening to Ace Tekkers. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. Rate, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. It actually helps. That's why every podcast ever says it. That was Ace Tekkers. We are Wrestle In, and now we're out.